All right.
Use this against us in court.
You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Anything, Mike, you want to say to before we start? I've got several things that I would like to get done in the next hour.
Okay. I don't have too much, Rob. We've had a crazy week or two, and probably this week is not much better. Next week looks better, so hopefully it doesn't get filled up too bad. Actually, not at all.
What's made it crazy?
I think we've got a lot of client activity in queue. I've got several clients with FTAs that we're working on and some planning work, and then I've had a number of higher tier one clients that did reviews here in the last few weeks that have just got me bottlenecked. And I've got to get them finished up, some of the follow-up work to get that done. So I think that's got Verna bottlenecked too, maybe a little bit. I'm not sure.
When you meet with clients, Mike, and you say you've got a lot to do for those folks, is that part of your job that you like dealing with people like that and finding solutions and so on and so forth?
I do, yes. But I call it post-op work, post-operation work, is where it gets bottlenecked. I can't get it off my desk fast enough before the next one comes in, and then it just builds and builds and builds.
Here's something that, and we're a little off the track here, but something that works for me. If I don't make notes right after I talk with you, by the time I've talked to somebody else, it all starts to get blurry on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I force myself to take 5 minutes and write down, make sure I've written down what I've promised, make sure that I remember as specifically as I can what we talked about. Now, the notes that you get from this call will help me with that, making sure that I write down things right after the meeting helps me a great deal. When you say the post-op work, Mike, is that just the follow-up for the meeting? Do you send out something to your clients after you meet with them that's a summary of the meeting? What is that post-op work?
Well, that's a good – we are off track maybe a little bit, but I when I'm done with the meeting, I make notes throughout the meeting, but then I take those notes and generally type them into our client management system. There's a track on it, and then it can go to Verna. So Verna has it in her system, so she can kind of prioritize it and do it when she wants to or get it done. And then I'll make just note client note or meetings of or notes of the meeting. So that takes sometimes a fair amount of time.
Is that something you send out to the clients, or this is internal?
Just internal.
Okay. All right. Good to know for later on.
Okay.
I'm going to use what we talked about last week to begin the conversation, or be a lot of the conversation today. Let me go back, and I don't want to beat up on the Community Foundation, but I think it brought up a lot of issues and a little bit of emotion I heard from Matt's point of view. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. How big is the Community Foundation?
We looked at that this weekend. Rob, I don't know if I want to make more of it than it needs to. It is a institutional kind of relationship that there's maybe, I don't know what's in there, Matt.
$5 million.
Half of it is one tier one, probably top 20 client of ours. It's a CRT that was set up a long time ago, and so that's really the primary relationship. The rest of it is. More of a pain, yeah.
Okay, well, here's some notes that I made on my notes from last week. You don't you're a little uncomfortable telling them, and again, I'm not. This is about just the Community Foundation. As a matter of fact, it's not much about the Community Foundation. It's the bigger picture. Is that you don't want to tell them that you don't want their business anymore. You're concerned how that would be viewed in the community. Is that a fair summary?
Well, on that account, yeah, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it that you don't want their business, and I'm thinking about here how to position as you reduce the size of your practice and number of clients, this isn't about not wanting their business as I see it. It's just you don't have time to spend with them. This isn't about your team being arrogant or whatever. You just really don't have time to spend with that relationship. Is that a fair summary with just those of us on this call?
Correct.
Matt, do you agree with that?
Yeah, Rob. I mean, I don't spend much time with the Community Foundation myself, and so I don't know the time, Greg, that it's there. I mean, I would look at it, you know, half that account, like Mike said, is another relationship.
Sure.
So the other half of that account, I don't know how much time that takes up, but I know we don't have any extra time, so the answer would be yes.
Well, Verna, let me ask you: Does that relationship take a lot of your time?
You know, to tell you the truth, it really doesn't.
All right, Kaylee, would you answer it the same way?
I don't really deal with that one directly. That one falls probably more to Verna.
Okay, well, here is. Let's think of the. And again, I'm trying to put a thought process in place. The one client who is about half the business. That you would not want to offend, correct?
Or lose.
What if you went to that client and said that you all are in the process of significantly reducing the number of people that are in your practice? And the reason you're doing it is so that you can continue to provide, or you can leave the word continue out. I don't know what your relationship is with this person, so that the service that you provide is not damaged. We just do not have the time, Bill, I'm talking about this large relationship, to continue to service as many clients as we have. We're significantly reducing this and confining the practice to people who really need our help. And the Community Foundation doesn't really need our help. They've hired someone from the outside. Now, is there any part of that statement that is untrue?
No.
All right. How do you think your client, how long have you had this relationship? The big relationship, the individual.
Quite a while. 25 years.
Do you think that this person would understand what you're saying?
Yes.
Is your service to this client going to change for the worse?
No.
No. You're creating more time to spend with him. So the reason I'm making kind of a bigger deal about this than I normally would is that you can't give it away. And by the time you waive your fees, and something I read in going back to the notes is you waive fees because everybody else waived fees and they kind of shame you into doing that. You don't have to do that. There's a different way to look at it. We are significantly reducing the number of people in our practice. We are focusing on people who really rely on our guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to the Community Foundation, have hired someone to provide that guidance. It's a personal thing how you'd say it, but bottom line is, we really do not. We don't want to. we want to end the relationship, but I can't say it the way it needs to be said. So it's not about, isn't this about creating time for people who do rely on your help?
Right.
All right. So that I can get a little smoother with the whole conversation. But what do you think the head of the Community Foundation is going to say to you?
They'll probably say, "I understand," and that'll be about the end of it.
So again, just a thought process, and you can probably apply this to other people. Now, I ask you to do some work around pretending that you had to get down to, 140 households. And that's
right.
Why we took a week off to get prepared, 140 households. Did you get that work done, Mike?
We did.
Okay.
We're so proud of ourselves, Rob.
Say it again?
I said we're so proud of ourselves.
Hey, not as proud as I am, Matt. I'm really proud. I am. I know this is hard. Tell me what it looks like. Just tell me what that list looks like. The percentage of your practice. Anything that came to you as you got down to the 140.
You don't want to answer.
I don't want to answer on the grounds that it's being recorded and incriminating.
Yeah.
Well, I can turn the recording off. I know you're kidding. But you can, it only comes to the five of you and to me. But you knew the whatever you tell me, I've heard before.
Anyway, the assets on the top 140 are 94% of the AUM.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's about right.
And it's about 94% of the revenue. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Who's laughing? I want to know who's laughing.
Lori Gingman.
Don't make me come in there. all right. Lori, what do you think when you hear those numbers, or have you already heard them?
I already heard them, yes, on Friday.
Did they surprise you?
No.
Okay. So were there any really difficult... Let's pretend that you snapped your fingers and the rest of the people disappeared. Were there any hard decisions getting down to the 140, Mike?
Yeah, there's still a few outliers that I haven't quite wrestled with. Friends mostly friends.
Okay, this is right now to give you the ability to think through this. I ask you to pretend that you had to go down to 140.
Right.
And that's 94% of your assets and your production. Now, if you can think of one person that didn't make the cut, if you could only bring one person in, does anybody come to mind, Mike?
I'd have to look through the list again, but there's maybe a handful.
Okay. Well, I said to y'all last 2 weeks ago, I said if the right number is 140 or 143 or 155, I'm not so hung up on that. But it's 140, that's not chiseled into stone. My point is, if you look, these numbers surprise me, Mike. I will tell you. I was going to say I don't hear this very. I've heard everything, but for 140 relationships out of the number of relationships you have to be 94%, that's really high. I was expecting like 85.
I don't.
So,
do you think?
It's well, I get the calculator because I'm thinking it is 330. Well, it is right.
AS is dumped into there.
That's the one that's skewing it. Is that AS?
So there's.
That's what's making it more than 90, or make it 94.
It's probably a little skewed because of a buyout of another partner.
Yeah.
So there's probably, I don't know.
You mean AUM or assets?
Well, both, probably.
Probably 300 and change of revenue, don't you think?
right?
Now, you shared with me, Mike, when we talked our first week about the buyout. So you're including the buyout relationships in this number, in the 140.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that skews this.
Let's pretend it's.
Either way, this is the way it's going to look.
Yeah. Matt, do you see anything? I know there are going to be some things around the edges, but do you see anything that's going to drastically change those numbers?
No.
Okay. Then the next step is. Again, we're not writing this, we can erase this. How would you break down, I got an intermediate step. I asked you a question around the Community Foundation last week, Matt, and you said that isn't my account. Those aren't your exact words, but you said it isn't your relationship. Do you all run two different practices?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, completely, but
not, well, I mean, it's been a merging of the books, but where we can, we've been cross training, but I mean, bringing each other into the loop.
All right, and you all have been a team 2.5 years, something like that.
2009, is that right?
Okay, so it's been 4 years. Would you say, Mike, that most of your clients know the rest of the team?
No. Maybe, no. Some. I mean, it's no. More and more as we cross.
But you didn't have a formal rollout and introduce Matt to your clients and vice versa back in 2009.
No, I don't think so.
All right, Matt. Would most of your people know the other members of your team?
More so than the other way, yeah.
Okay. Next question. Those 140, are those the best 140 between the two of you, or is, you know, did you look at that as one practice and get the top 140, or did who has primary responsibility for those people enter into the process?
Pretty sorted by revenue.
So it didn't matter who had it.
Yeah, regardless of who had it, we sorted by revenue, and that's kind of where we started the process at.
Okay. Matt, guess, if you don't know the exact number, how many of those 140 were people for whom you have primary responsibility?
40? Maybe not quite even.
Okay.
Probably not even 40.
All right. Next thing is, let's assume everybody, all your relationships look at Mike and Matt equally. So they don't care if they get a call from Matt or from Mike. Let's pretend that. Mike, what would your ideal day be? Would it be, could you make 3 outgoing calls a day scheduled? That's 2 parts to that question, Mike. I know you can physically do it, and maybe this is a better question for Lori because she does the scheduling. Do you think you could live on your – could you meet your schedule? Could you call 3 people proactively a day?
Could Lori or me? Could I?
Oh, I'm asking you if you think you could do that.
I can't right now, but I could.
Yeah. I mean, we're 3 weeks into a longer process. But is that something you can see yourself having the discipline to make sure that you make these calls?
Right. I'm going to answer that. Yes. The reason I don't is because it creates a commitment and a post-op backlog that I can't handle, so I don't. Because every time I pick up the phone, I create more work, and that's the problem. If I answer the phone, I create more work, and sometimes I can get it to Perna, but I can't always get it to Perna, and then it sits there in my desk. So
why do you pick up the phone?
It rings. Or return phone calls. You know, you get calls that are coming in, yep. So you're returning calls. So it's somewhat of a function of that. You're just trying to keep, you're continuing to put out the fires. So
Okay. One other thing, and then I'm going to come back to this part. Last week, and if you hear pages turning, I'm looking for the specific language, but we talked about a minimum, and there was some confusion on the call about what your minimum was. And I think that, where is it? I have it highlighted, and I still can't find it. Matt said he had violated it last week with $350,000, and you said you were the better of the two of you at enforcing that, trying to enforce the minimum. Matt, you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
All right. Mike, what is your reservation about having a minimum that's applied to new business?
I don't have a reservation, Rob. It's just I think when we originally went through the Supernova the first time around, we did reduce the book size down to around 330 or 340, and not really understanding all the simple accounts and some of those things that were hanging out there, and non-networked accounts that have come in now, and then also then the AS accounts that have flipped in. And so probably not. Even then, that was still too high, but I think that's what we did. And then I think, you know, we set a minimum of 250 as for the team with the idea that I would try to focus on a million and up, and then anything else I could, Matt could do, but that's clearly not working. So I think, it seemed like a better minimum if we took the average of the top 100 is probably around a million.
Mm-hmm.
And the average of the top 20 is probably more like 5 million. So a target minimum would be 5, and a team minimum is probably closer to a million.
All right. Matt, when you hear that, what's your reaction? Not about whether you all can enforce it, but that being the right number.
I think it's the right number, and I look at it sometimes, Rob, from a revenue standpoint. I mean, you know, our top 140 is about $4,000 to $5,000 a year range. And I remember last week or 2 weeks ago, you said there's not a Mike minimum and a Matt minimum. There's a team minimum.
Correct.
We've never really thought about that. It's just we've always done it separately. So it's a little bit different thought process, I guess.
Forgive me for saying this, Matt, but the reason that you haven't thought about it isn't because you've been sitting there with your feet up on the desk drinking Coca-Colas. It's because you don't have time to think. You all have been reactive. Business owners on a regular basis take a step back, look at what they're doing well, and try to do more of it and either eliminate or improve what's not working well. You all are trying to row the boat and bail it out all at the same time. That's the reason that you haven't thought about it. So the way that you reduce the size of your practice is you get down to your core, and then you have a minimum for new business, because you can't, like you've said before, and it is, we've gotten down, but it's slowly worked its way back up. Some of that is because, you know, I know accounts are looked at differently, but some of it is you've opened small relationships. Mike, is that, am I fair with that statement? Verna, are relationships being opened in your practice that are less than $1 million?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of it, if I can just interject quick, I mean, part of it isn't new relationships are being opened. It's a referral. It's a grandkid. Dad gives a son money, and we open an account, and yes, it doesn't mean a minimum. I mean, I know some of those fall under the Butler rule, but And we're not out opening brand new, you know, meeting people at cocktail hours, opening up $150,000 accounts. We're at least somewhat discerning in that, maybe not perfectly, but I think part of it is we don't know where to go with them. So they come to us and they're, you know, a mother-in-law or something of a good client, and we don't know where to go. We've got no outlet. And maybe part of it's just not having the script or certainly the infrastructure set up, but we don't know where to go with them, so we say yes.
Okay, and you're not really excited about doing that, but that's what you've always done, and that's what you do. Matt, you know part of the answer here. The answer, if your best client has a daughter and he wants to give money to her, then you treat them like a butler. They get 4 contacts a year. That's pretty good service for a butler, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably better than some good clients are getting from the financial services industry. So that's that answer. You got to have common sense about this. The other part is, what about the referrals? Somebody has given you $200,000 referrals in the past, and you've smiled and taken them. What do you do now when they come back with another $200,000 referral? What do you do with that? Well, here's what you do. You proactively get to those referral sources and tell them the story. We are significantly reducing the size of our practice so that we can offer a superior level of service and guidance. We don't want the growth of our practice to harm the service our existing clients are getting. So this referral source in this made-up situation is hearing they really want to take care of the people that I've referred to them. And then the next thing you say, in order to control the capacity of our practice, we are going to have $1 million minimum for new business. And that, and when I say $1 million, that's unless there are extenuating circumstances. And that extenuating circumstance is an event that's in the foreseeable future that's going to take them above the minimum. So those are the two ways you handle it. If it's a good client, you take care of their kids. That's part of what you do. That's part of your brand. If it's a referral source, it's going to be up to you to go to your referral sources and make sure they understand that you have a minimum. And one of the things that I wrote down, and again, I'm using the Community Foundation as just a catalyst for conversation, is I wrote a note here. Maybe the Community Foundation has treated you not in the way that you want to be treated, because they don't know exactly what you do. So all this stuff in my mind fits together. So I think you all, the first part here is getting your practice down to the core, and at the same time instituting a minimum that keeps it from growing. Now, I know you've had these conversations in the past, but Mike, you've made the decision that you want to do this one-on-one, so if we got to spend 6 weeks in getting the practice down to the core, that's an awfully good use of your time and your money. Mm-hmm. So we can get it done if you all will get a little bit outside your comfort zone and view all this through the prism of, we've got to take care of our best clients. Go through that prism instead of, well, I opened this relationship 10 years ago. They're going to be devastated if I send them to the investment center. So that's the thought process we need to have. Now, let's go back to the 140. And I ask you, Mike, this conversation started, could you discipline yourself initially to have 3 scheduled contacts a day? When I asked you that 10 minutes ago, you said, yeah, but I answer my phone and I get off track. Could you commit to making, in this example, 3 proactive calls a day?
If if the book size is small enough. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If yeah. That it all comes back to that for this team. I mean, you've got $362 million here. This is a huge company. You know how much the Community Foundation has, Mike? I looked it up.
$70 million.
They have $80 million, according to their website. You all are 4.5 times bigger than the Community Foundation, and they're dictating to you? I mean, give me a break here. I know it's involved in the community and all that. So if you can commit to 3 outgoing calls a day, Mike, and you don't have to do it 3 in a day. Laurie could set it up where you have 3 days of 5. It all works out to 15 or however you would want it to look like. But when you think of 15 scheduled calls a week, from my point of view, Mike, that doesn't seem to be an overwhelming number. Now, I'm not saying that's the right number. I just want you to I want you to think about if Mike did that, Matt, then you've got 80, which means that you have 4 proactive calls a week. Can you see yourself doing that?
4 a week or 4 a day?
4 a day. I'm sorry. 4 a week's better, but I don't think you
that's
want.
What to. I was gonna say.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Dude, that's magic. From Arizona. Yeah,
answer the question you know I'm asking.
I can do 4 a day.
Okay. All right. So, what's the first step to begin to significantly segment your practice?
All right.
Matt, what's the first step here?
We got to rip the Band-Aid off. We got to pare the book down.
Yeah, well, here's what you got to do, and it's
first
a different.
We have to post out everything that's in queue.
I'm asking you to think about it in a different prism, look at it through a different prism. You've got to create the time to do the things that your best clients need. Mike, or Matt, you're a CFP, right?
Matt's not. I am.
Okay. How much of your time? You're also a SEMA, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. You enjoy the business, Mike. There are parts of it you enjoy a lot, dealing with clients, coming up with solutions, the right portfolios, the right asset allocation. That's a fun part of the job, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The part of the job that you've got to give up is all the other stuff. So the first step here is making – there are two parts to this. There's the really easy part, and there's the some that are more difficult. So, Matt, can you, as you would get this down, let's say the first step was to get down to 200. Again, not rolling it out with clients, but doing this thing, getting it ready to go. Matt, do you think getting down to 200 would be a difficult task?
Not necessarily, Rob, because we kind of did that when we did this process. We made a cut at 140, and then we went to 200 as well because we kind of figured that would be a big cut. And so we've got two lists in front of us. One, you know, the other 300 and some odd accounts.
Okay. I hear you, and I'm not using 200 because it's 2 times 100. I'm not suggesting you go to 100 because – with the assets that you all have and 94% of your people coming from 140 people, you all don't have the time to do 100 each. I said, how do you get this process started? And that's why I went to the 200. So if you drew a line at the end of 200, would it be a difficult decision to get rid of everything above 200?
Everyone below 200, it would be.
I'm talking about number 200, not 200,000 in assets.
Yeah, no, I know. 200 to 319, basically, those accounts. There's a 320 that left. No, it wouldn't be horribly painful.
The top 200 are 92% of our assets.
That doesn't make sense to me. If 140 or 94 or 200 are going to. Can't go down to 92.
Yeah, they can. Oh, wait. The 140 was probably more like 86% because I was taking the 140 as a percent of the 200. Not the entire book.
Not the entire book.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Top 140.
Yeah. Remember what I said earlier? That looked different to me. You've answered it.
Percent.
Okay. All right. So again, I'll ask the question. Can you start the process by reducing the size to getting down to 200?
Yeah, we got it.
We'll
get it done.
Well, wait a minute. Mike, I know you well enough to know when you say something, you're not just making it up. You believe you can do it.
It needs to be done.
I know that. I need to help you with the steps that your whole team can help get this thing done. So as you look at this 200, here's my thought. We get down to 200, and then we look at it again.
Okay.
So if you get down to 200, you're at 94% of your production, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verna, let me pick on you again. If Mike and Matt said to you, I want you to get down to 200, do whatever you think makes sense to you because you're in charge of this process, what are some of the things that you would think about to reduce the size of the practice?
Well, I think I'd go with, first of all, I'd discuss the people that are directly at the mutual funds that came from the 401k plan that went away earlier this year. That's the first thing.
Okay. Is there anything that would keep you from doing that? I mean, is there anything compliance-wise that would keep you from doing that?
No.
Compliance-wise, there's nothing. The only thing I can see is that the head person that was in this 401k is now a very large client of ours. And, I can imagine that Mike doesn't want to upset him if he found out that he did that.
I don't know that anybody would care. I mean, I don't know that they would care. For most of the work, I didn't know that you're getting a lot of calls on that. But if you're getting a lot of calls, most of it's taking a distribution or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Distribution.
Yeah, so that can be done direct with the fund. So we just take ourselves out of the loop. And the clients that we think we can help, we've already talked to, right?
Yeah.
So... yeah, so that's an easy one. Okay.
Okay. Verna, you have any other ideas on the next on what you could do to get down to 200?
We do have more. Well, the simple clients, the simple accounts, would probably get rid of quite a few.
All right, Matt, is that? Or Mike or Matt, either one of you, would that be a difficult thing to do?
You know, I don't know. Again, those are Matt has a good example of that from yesterday.
So last week, Rob, I did a simple plan that was, if I take into account prep time and then actual time being there, then I have the same thing this week where I'm going to lose another day. So I've got 2+ days that are shot on $1 million in between, or million, maybe 1.3 in between the two accounts, the two simple plans. The problem is, that's what I like. I like doing that. I like going there, and I like educating them, and I like spending one-on-one time with them, and making it feel like I'm making a difference. Well, you don't always get that feeling when you're working with someone with $3 million. But I guess part of that is I just have to get over that.
Well, I'm listening. I mean, it's where is that time coming from, Matt? I know this is obvious, and forgive me. I know you've had the thought process, but I get that you enjoy dealing with that. I used to enjoy municipal bonds. I loved I know where almost every town in the country is. I know where Thief River Falls, Minnesota is. So I get that part. But where is that time coming from?
At the expense of other clients. And
where else is it coming from?
Hmm?
Where else is it coming from?
Family.
Yep. Yep. You ever go home and you're still mentally at the office?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the job, but not to the extent that you're probably feeling. Your wife ever said to you, you know, where are you when you're sitting right there having a conversation with her? My wife
I've
used to say.
I've never heard that.
I understand liking to help people. I get that. I'm all for that. But I'm also all for making sure that your team is taking care of your best clients and you're making yourself more referable so you can grow your practice. I'm also conscious of you having an obligation to your family. So, you know, what's the answer to the problem, to the situation you just told me about the 401k or the simple, whatever you set up?
I think the point that I was getting at there is in that conversation with this client. So Matt was out there for the day, which from an economic standpoint makes no sense. But they're a longtime client, but the docs that run it have really no accounts here either and no money to work with us. After talking with them, Matt had a good conversation with the doc and said, you know, we recognize you're not making any money on this account. We recognize that you've just given up a day and made nothing on it. The doc gets it. But we need help. So what can we do? And so then the conversation led to just doing a fee-based plan for them and helping get them on the right track and put together basically a blueprint for them, recognizing that we can't be compensated via the assets. We have to charge for the hard plan. So if we charge... for a heart plan, now you've got a new relationship there, but no assets. But at least you're being paid for your time. So
I hear you. Is that the best use of Matt's time? How much are you going to charge for that, Matt?
I would think there's two docs, and my gut reaction is $2,500 apiece.
Okay, so $5,000. It doesn't sound like that's recurring revenue.
No, not unless they were funding it somehow or there was a liquidity event in the practice.
Yeah, and do you see that, Matt?
No, they're both younger docs. They're, you know, early 40s. So, no, there's probably no liquidity event coming.
Yeah.
They want to save, but...
Is there somebody... I know you've got 9 people in your office. Is there somebody in your office who would love to have that business?
Yeah, probably.
Why couldn't you say when you get into these situations, whether it's the 401 simple or it's a referral that doesn't fit your minimum, I keep coming back to this same thing because it's important for you to have this thought process and believe it. We are maintaining we have significantly reduced the size of our practice so that we can continue to provide a high level of service. To help us with that process, we have a minimum of $1 million. I have someone in my office who we have total confidence in, I'd love to have you talk with. You've probably got folks in your office who would love to open a $250,000 account, don't you?
No, not right now.
You don't think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
our bench is kind of thin right now.
Yeah, but my guess is that, you're there, I'm not, so I'm not going to presume there is somebody. But do you see the conversation, Matt? We'd love to do it, but we maintain a intentionally small number of folks in our practice so that, and I'm not going to go through it again because it's starting to bore me, you see, it all comes back to that. This isn't about you all being arrogant. You all seem to be really nice people. It's not about that. It's about you just can't do it for everybody. You said something last week, Mike, and I just I hope I can find it quickly. It just jumped out at me like here's what you said, Mike, and if the transcriber didn't get it right, correct me. Here's what she wrote. The transcriber wrote down. We're talking about a minimum. I think it's about making sure we're taking care of clients the best we can. We're talking about capacity. I think to me it's about making sure we're taking care of clients the best we can. Now, Mike, if God forbid you had a heart attack and they're wheeling you into the emergency room or into surgery, and this doctor says, you know, we're going to do the best we can, Mike. That's not very comforting. You want that doctor to say, we're on it. We know exactly what's wrong. Here's what we're going to do. We're highly confident that this is going to take care of your problem, whatever. So it's really a choice. It's a choice between focusing on your best clients and growing your practice with more people just like them, or continuing to do the same thing. And I'll tell you, the same thing is $2.3 million in production this year and $342 million in assets. A lot of FAs that would love to have that. I really love to have it. I know. But it's about that's really the choice you're going to make. When you give up relationships, and I said this last week, we have never had a client come to us and say, you know, I gave up relationships and my business fell off. We just haven't had it. Maybe it's happened. We don't know. So those are the two. Do you see any other choices, Matt? I mean, I know those are pretty stark choices to keep doing what you're doing, getting paid pretty well, but not really doing the job you could do if you had fewer clients, or making some significant changes that will be in effect for the rest of the time you all work together. Those are the two choices. You see any other choices, Matt?
There's a third choice, I guess, and we could hire a junior advisor or someone
to do what?
Else. Service the rest of the book.
Well, why, you know, if you had an FA in the office that you could give these relationships to and say, here they are, they're yours, we want half of them for the first year, we want 30% for the second year, 20% for the third, and then they're all yours. If you had somebody you could give that to, that'd be a pretty good deal, wouldn't it, for you?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not – there's nobody in your office who would take that deal.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, yeah, there is.
Clearly.
Okay.
I think we could figure something out.
Well, no, but what I want to do here, Mike, is to just really get the steps down here. I know you can figure it out. You had this thing figured out when we talked in Minneapolis 3 years ago. Okay. You had it figured out.
I'd be the only two.
But it's hard to implement and do all the business and all the incoming that everybody in the team has. So you've given me a third option. Matt, does that seem like a good option to bring somebody else into your team to handle relationships that are already taking a lot of Vernon, Kaylee, and Lori's time and your time from time to time? If you don't get them out of your practice, it's still all the work stays with the team.
Yeah, I know.
So that's a little bit better than not making any changes. But it's just another person to supervise and divide the pie and all that other stuff. I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Forgive me. I asked you the question. Now I'm answering it. So what do you want to do, Matt? If we were looking a year out from now and you could look back and all this work was done, do you think you would feel good about it?
Yes.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, yeah, we get it.
I know you do.
What do we need to do next?
Next step is we're going to pretend there's – here's what I want to talk about next week. I want to talk about what your plan is for getting down to 200.
Okay.
There are going to be some really obvious things in there. There are going to be Verna mentioned a couple of things. And again, a mistake I see FAs make from time to time around this part of Supernova, and I don't sense it here, but I'll say it anyway, is that the FAs try to make all the decisions themselves, when in fact you all have a staff that knows some of these people better than you do. Make sure that Verna and Kaylee and Lori have input into this process. So what I would like to talk in the Supernova manual that you got, there are letters that you can send out. I will send you a letter that you can send out if you're sending people to the investment center. So what I would like, and I'll do that, let me write that down. I see a letter. I'll send you a copy of the letter that the investment center. One's a letter that you all send out. The other is a letter that the investment center sends out after the relationship goes there. So what I would like for you to do, and Mike, I'm going to say the same thing I said to you after our previous session, is if you can't get this done well, then we can always move this thing back a week.
Okay.
I want, you know, you've done good work here. We've had a great conversation. Now we got to execute. So what I would like for you to do is to come back and say, this is how we're going to get down to 200. Now, remember, this is all an internal exercise right now. So these people are going to go to the investment center. This is the letter we're going to send out to these people. Or we're going to use one of the letters in your that are in the Supernova manual. This is what we're going to do. Now we have a small step here, and we can get down to 200, and then we can start to make the harder decisions. How long you been doing this, Mike?
33 years.
Okay. It took you 33 years to get to this point,
mm-hmm.
and most of it is really good. But there's some habits that I would like for you to break, and one of those is being the nice guy. I don't want you to ever give that up, but I don't want you to be somebody's place they deposit small relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your doctor said to you, that you know what's going on in concierge medicine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those doctors are limiting their practice so they can be more proactive and be more diagnosticians than reacting to what happens. It's going on, and my accountant has supernova'd. It's going on in a lot of industries. We got to get it started with you all. So that's, I'll send you an email just to talk specifically about what I would like for you to do, but I'm going to rely on you, Mike, and I'll attach those letters, and I'll send it to everybody on the team. But I'm going to rely on you, Mike, to let me know what if you want to have our next session next week or the week after.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Matt, you got any questions?
No, I'm pretty good right now.
All right. Verna, Kaylee, Lori, any questions from you all?
No, we're good. No.
Does this make sense to the three of you from as we go through this process?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Good. All right, folks. I'll talk to you next week, unless Mike calls me, and then we'll reschedule. Thanks for the hard work you're doing. I appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks,
Rob.
You bet. That was the Mike Carl Wealth Management Group. Really nice people.